Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray was at the funeral of Stanley Tukey Williams today in Los Angeles. Margaret, your observations and your thoughts about that.
You know, they came from all over the country. They were poor, they were wealthy. They were famous, they were not so famous. But they were all united by one and only one thing. That was to pay their respects to a man who had spent a lot of time in prison, a man who had spent an awful lot of time on the wrong side of the law, but a man who ultimately had learned the error of his ways and had redeemed himself, Phil, I think is the word that we all use. You know, redemption, Phil, is so archetypal in the human experience. Redemption is, after all, what our religions are about. Redemption is what a second chance is about. That's what Tukey Williams wanted, a second chance. Today at the funeral of Stanley Tukey Williams, they were there, as I mentioned, the celebrities. Tony Robbins was there. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen also paid their respects. Al Yankovic, Regis Philbin, Damon Wayans, Jack Palance, Jamie Foxx, they were all there. And they were there, Phil, to say one thing with one unified voice. This was a man who, despite the error of his ways and despite the destructive life that he had lived, had changed. Did the state of California really have to take his life? Tomorrow morning, Phil, my column will ask this question. Wouldn't it have been a coup? Wouldn't it have been a brilliant stroke if George Bush had either sent a personal emissary, had sent a videotaped comment, or some comments to this funeral for this man, this wayward man who had changed his ways? That's what my column will deal with tomorrow, and I think it's going to tear the lid completely off of the Bush administration, because with the opportunity for rapprochement with the African-American community, once again George Bush blows it. And that really, Phil, I think, sums up this day.
Well, you don't think that President Bush, I mean, this guy Williams did murder four people.
Let's talk about people who have done wrong and who could have done a lot of good. Again, we're talking about President Bush. Now, when I am...
Wait a minute. I can't let you get away with that.
Well, Phil, let me finish what I'm saying, and then we can, you know, I'll answer your questions. But my column appears in 150 newspapers nationally. I think it would have been brilliant if George Bush, after all of the mistakes he's made, after pushing this country to the brink of chaos, after subjecting the people of color of Iraq and the Middle East to the war that he has subjected them to, don't you think it would have earned him enormous points with the African-American community if he'd shown up today in some form for the Stanley Tukey Williams funeral? I'll put that question to you, Phil.
No, I don't.
Why not?
Well, number one, I don't think Stanley Tukey Williams... What are you talking about, the African-American community? The guy is a thug. He was a murderer.
You know, if you want to go for the broad brush descriptions, that's fine.
Well, all right, let's just talk about him as a... You're telling me he represents the black community?
You and I always get into this. It's always interesting. What do you know about African-American... How many African-Americans do you know, truly?
How many do I know?
Well, how many are friends of yours? How many do you speak to on a semi-regular basis?
I don't know, but maybe four or five. How many do you know? How many do you know? How many do you speak to on a semi-regular basis?
Phil, I have been a journalist, and I've been associated with the entertainment community for a long, long time. I have been a part of a great many efforts at raising awareness for civil rights and minority rights.
Wait, that doesn't answer my question. How many do you know?
I have traveled to South America extensively, and that is a hell of a lot closer to Africa than you've ever been, to answer your question. And I hate to boil it down to such a simplistic thing, but I have been to South America one hell of a lot closer to Africa than you've ever been. So I don't know what you...
Well, all right. You went to the funeral. You mentioned that there were celebrities there. You mentioned that the poor were there.
A lot of people who, the street people, the Crips were there.
The Crips were there. Well, that's great. The Crips were there. I thought this guy renounced, you know, his...
Still, this man is reaching out to those young people and trying to say, change your ways. I just think that Bush once again has taken a golden opportunity, like almost a gold coin, and has buried it deep in the feces of an outhouse because he's got too much pride. He's too proud and really too stupid. I'm sorry, Phil. I don't mean to be disrespectful.
You know, yes, you do mean to be disrespectful. Yes, you do. You know, using the word stupid about the president, Tukey Williams was a gangster. He was a convicted murderer.
He was a significant member of the minority community. The man was nominated multiple times for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Anybody can be nominated for... You can nominate me for a Nobel Peace Prize.
He was a leader in the community, and by George Bush, if he'd been at the funeral... He could have gone a long way toward righting so very, very many wrongs.
All right, Margaret Gray is with us. I don't want to argue with you, Margaret. I know you wanted to give a report.
Well, you know, Phil, every time I call up with some kind of observation, I'm always into a debate with you.
All right, well, I'll give our phone number, and we'll take calls if you want. 1-800...
I don't have a lot of time.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray was at the funeral of Stanley Tukey Williams. Her column tomorrow morning will deal with the opportunity that President Bush missed by not being there. I want to ask you seriously, what do you think a president of the United States showing up at the funeral for a gangster, what is that going to, what message is that going to send?
A gangster, you say?
Yes, a gangster. A gangster.
Was he a gangster when they executed him?
He was an incarcerated felon when they executed him. He was a man...
Absolutely, but he wasn't a gangster. He was a man who had been renewed. You know, Phil, I'm not a religious person. But there's an old, well, it is a Negro, if you will, spiritual, that says, my eyes were closed, but now they're open. Praise Christ. I forget how it goes. But it's a song about redemption, Phil. Isn't that what it's about?
Yes, redemption is what it's about. Yes, religions are about redemption. And
well, I don't want you to lecture me.
I'm not going to lecture you, but the fact is you can be redeemed. Tukey Williams was redeemed. So what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? They took his life.
They took his life, but he was redeemed. So he's in heaven now.
Look,
you're the one that brings in religion. I mean, what is it with you people? You bring in religion when it's convenient. And
what is you people? What, is that a racial statement? You people?
No, you're white, right?
Yes, but you people. I mean, you whites.
I'm white, too. I'm simply saying that this guy, President Bush, isn't going to go to the funeral of a convicted and executed murderer any more than any other law-abiding citizen is.
Well, I saw Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen there, and they're law-abiding. Well, other than the one cocaine thing, they are law-abiding, and they were there. And
you're sure that Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen were at Stanley Tukey Williams' funeral?
Boy, I'd swear on a stack of, I mean, I don't... I'd swear to my on Jason J. Delmonico.
Well, you could have been mistaken, because it sounds a little bizarre.
What does?
That those two would be there.
They were there with Dave Coulier. What?
Nothing. I want to ask you...
Phil, your words are full of judgment. George Bush could have shown that as a white man, he gets it about African Americans. He could have solidified his voter base among African Americans. Millions of African Americans were watching today, watching very carefully. Millions and millions of black eyes were about that far from their TV screens, were about that far from their television screens, looking, peering into the TV screen. What's he going to do? What move is the great white father going to make? Well, guess what? He stayed in Washington.
You are saying that millions and millions of African Americans give a crap about Tukey Williams.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that anybody who is law-abiding doesn't, whether they're black or white, and anybody that's a criminal or a crook or looks to manipulate the system or simply wants to feel good about themselves as a white person...
How dare you?
Well, Margaret, forgive me, but these white folks that show up at these things, you know...
Tony Robbins was there.
I read what Tony Robbins said. He was full of rage. What has he got to be angry about? The freaking guy owns a resort in Fiji.
Oh, so now a man's rich and he's to be indicted.
Well, what's he pissed off about?
Because a man died, Phil.
Four people died back in 1979. One of them had a shotgun put to his head. A veteran, a guy that was a veteran of the United States military, working in a stop-and-go, got a shotgun put to his freaking head. And then Tukey, all PCP'd out, all shermed out, was laughing about it.
You don't know that to be a fact.
You're right. You're right. He could be innocent. I'm sorry. 25 freaking years later, the cat's probably innocent. All the appeals, they didn't dig up that one guy that really did it.
Your cynicism is simply a symptom of the problem with our society. And again, that is...
Do you know what a stereotype you sound like?
In what way?
You sound like a stereotype. You sound like somebody who's just, you know, the same crap.
The same crap? Are you trying to tell me that Tony Robbins, Jack Palance, Regis Philbin...
These are people, these are celebrities. What the hell do they know? They don't know any more than anybody else. Put any one of those people in that cell with Tukey for about 5 days, and Tukey would have had them as butt buddies.
How dare you?
Well, I'm telling you, the guy was a noted rapist up in San Quentin up until about 10 years ago. He probably would have bent Tony Robbins over and have at it.
Go to hell.
She hung up. Okay, well, good. Fine, good. Let her hang up. Tukey Williams was a rapist. You know that? He was like one of the better-known rapists at San Quentin up until about 10 years ago. He gets Tony Robbins or Regis Philbin or the Ashley twins or whatever the hell her name is, the Olsen twins in there. Man, the screaming wouldn't end. 1-800-449. Get her back on the phone. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
That ain't cucumber dressing.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We hugged, yeah.
Mike Farrell was there?
Oh, Mike has been at the forefront of this, Phil, yeah. And we walked in, and I said, Mike, Margaret. And he turned around, and he just said, Margaret. And he almost just collapsed into my arms. That's how devastated we all are.
Did you know this guy, Tukey Williams?
I'm sorry?
Did you know him?
No, I knew him.
Did you know him personally?
You're not going to trap me with that, Phil.
You didn't know this guy. You're all uptight about this cat's dying. You didn't know him.
You know what? Don't talk to me like I'm one of these frat brothers that calls your show, You Cats. Phil, I am...
Look, I'm telling you that a lot of these people that were standing up for this guy and they're buying this guy's baloney, like a lot of these people, man, these dudes are sociopaths. Don't you understand? They put on whatever face they think is going to succeed. They put on whatever face they think... Did this guy ever say he was sorry for these murders?
I'm not going through that again, Phil, and I'm not on, I'm not on debating with Larry Ilman.
Who's he?
You know, the black one.
The black one?
The black one on the,
Larry Elder.
Yes. He is, you talk about a turncoat. What an Uncle Tom.
Wow! Wow! You got some nerve.
Well, look at Phil. I've been around blacks, and I...
You don't know diddly squat. You're some white lady that lives out there in Santa Monica.
Yeah, well, you know something, Phil? An African-American died at the hands of the United States government. Another political murder. Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Manny, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. I want to start off by saying hello to you and hello to Margaret.
Let's go to Tim. Hi, Tim. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Hi, good.
Hey, you know, I was saying there a second ago, I think that the justice system finally worked. It's just 25 years too late. And
what does that mean, 25 years too late?
They should have done it 25 years ago when he committed the murders.
There's an appeal process that, by law, he's entitled to. Are you saying we should get rid of the appeal process?
I understand that, but, you know, it's like, what does it have to do with President Bush? President Bush has nothing to do with this.
President Bush has done more wrong for this country. He could have really done something right by being there.
Well, we all do wrong. We do wrong every day. You do wrong, I do wrong. Does that mean to keep a man alive that killed somebody that was...
I didn't say keep him alive. I said President Bush could have been there at the funeral.
Well, the way you talk, you sound like you wish he was still, we were still paying for his room and board.
Well, what good did it do killing him?
It got rid of a freaking murderer.
That's right.
Well, it got rid of a murderer. How do you know he murdered?
Because he got 26 years worth of appeals, that's how. Because the justice system, what, did the DNA not prove out or something, man? Did they have the wrong blood drops? LAPD must...
Do you fact that your tax dollars and the money you earn is paid to keep him alive and to feed him and for all of his appeals?
Look, Tim, Gary Coleman said it best when he said that there are...
Gary Coleman said it best.
I'm sorry, Phil. Excuse me. Isn't Gary black? Yes, he is, and you're not, as I was saying. Gary Coleman said it best when he said, forget about whether the bull is blind, just load the cart.
I think you're the one who's blind, ma'am.
How am I blind when I look at 500 years of slavery? And that,
oh, God.
500 years of slavery. And you're white?
Yes,
we're all slaves in today's day and age.
Oh, you know, listen to you. That's very convenient, isn't it?
Well, it's the truth.
No, it isn't the truth.
You're a slave to your job,
no,
aren't you?
No, it isn't the truth. You get paid. You don't know what slavery is. Slavery is when someone tells you where to go, how to do it, and what to do it, unless you're married to the wrong woman. And I'll tell you something else. George Bush, sitting there in the White House,
Yeah, what is it with Bush?
Because Bush had a golden opportunity. He had a golden opportunity, and he turned around, looked at it in the bowl, and pulled the chain.
Hey, ma'am, I'd like to tell you something. My sister-in-law was murdered 10 years ago. And
you're just now coming up with that?
No, I'm just telling you. She was murdered 10 years ago, and they just put the kid to he was just executed in Oregon, and he happened to have been the sheriff's son who murdered my sister-in-law. And, you know, it couldn't have come
Oregon,
at a better time.
But, you know, 10 years our family
had to suffer and wait and listen to his appeals and his excuses.
Oregon doesn't have capital punishment.
What's that?
Oregon doesn't have capital punishment.
Oregon does have capital punishment.
I thought that they, it's humane, isn't it?
Well, it's humane. Yeah, I think it's humane if we're getting rid of them.
No, but the way they put them to death in Oregon, how do they do it?
Well, how do you think they ought to do it?
I think
they ought to take them out in the public square and do the same thing that they did to their victims
and watch how much the
crime rate goes down. I wouldn't have a problem pulling the trigger. I'd sleep at night.
They do it in a very humane way. They drown you or something like that. I don't know.
They drown you?
Well, they don't.
All right, look at... Tim, thank you very much for your call.
I want to say to Tim, first of all, Tim, I'm very sorry to hear about your sister. When did it happen?
It was 10 years ago.
It was 10 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. And the man was executed? I think you're drowned in Oregon.
No, you're not drowned.
They was hanging up until a few years ago, or, you know, 5-6 years ago. They used to hang back. They had another guy that appealed it. Because he was so huge that he was afraid that when the rope came tight, it would rip his head off. So he actually got out of the execution.
Well, thank God.
Well, that's ridiculous. Well, what did they do? They wind up just icing
No, they him. Ended up sending him to Walla Walla in Washington and did lethal injection.
Lethal injection?
Yeah. Where, you know, lethal injection where they...
What do they hang you by?
Excuse me?
What do they hang you by?
They hang you by a rope.
Yeah, but what part of your body?
Your neck.
Well, I find that very inhumane, and I have campaigned for
illegal drowning.
Well, it's
inhumane. People can kill these people, and we've got to pay for them,
pay for
their meals, their room and board, and pay for their appeals.
This jive, all these people. And I'll tell you one other thing, Margaret.
Well, I speak for a lot of black people.
That's the thing that bugs me. How do you know you speak for a lot of black? And I'll tell you something right now. Tookie Williams is a guy. Tell me, the whole black African-American community is a monolithic voice that everybody was against Tookie Williams going down for the count? You can't tell me that.
Well, there were a hell of a lot of black people there.
Well, good, fine.
According to you, there were a hell of a lot of white people,
game,
too.
What'd you say, Tim?
According to her before, there was a hell of a lot of white people, too, supposedly.
Yeah, there were a great many white people. I told you, Mike Farrell collapsed into my arms. And
oh, well, I'm sure it's just been a rough day for Mr.
Well, we'll read about that in your article. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you very much, Tim.
You know, I like the way you stack the phone calls against me.
I'm not stacking anything against you. What do you mean, Tim Farrell collapsed into your arms?
He was exhausted. He'd been up for days trying to save Tookie's life. He was exhausted. And he asked me, do you have any? I said, I've got a little in an envelope. I mean, I'm appalled. I really am. But Oregon, my understanding is they are campaigning now for legal, humane drowning. And
humane drowning? How's that humane?
Because by holding your head underwater, as opposed to snapping your neck or cutting your head off or electrocuting you, it's a very natural way to go. In other words, it's nature. It's nature just filling you. So they take you out in a rowboat, as far as I know, and they throw you in and won't let you, you know, I don't know.
Margaret Gray, on the funeral of Tookie Williams, why wasn't President Bush there? He could have really made some huge political points with the black community. Her column will be dealing with it tomorrow. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Are you for real?
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, man. So the Bush administration is keeping people from seeing Brokeback Mountain.
Phil, the anti-gay agenda of this administration...
Look, nobody's going to go see a movie about two gay cowboys. It ain't going to happen. You're going to have Academy Awards. I'm sure it's very well acted. I'm sure it's very well written. It's just another example of making a movie so that they can make the movie, so that they can, quote, make a statement. They'll get Academy. It's cool. It's great. It's fine. They ain't going to be breaking any box office with it.
What is it with you? You're the guy that went and saw Gods and Monsters, thought that was so great.
What about Gods and Monsters?
Oh, my good, sweet, loving Christ. If that isn't the biggest poof flick that it...
That's not a poof flick. That was a real story.
So Brokeback Mountain isn't?
Well, I don't know, man. What's it based on?
What do you mean, what is it based on?
Is it based on a true story?
You're telling me two gays can't be cowmen.
Cowmen?
Cowboys, I meant.
Yeah, I'm sure they can.
Thank you. God damn. Really takes a lot just to pull the truth out of you, doesn't it? And Phil, there's one other thing I want to say to you. I left Mike Farrell today.
Here we go with Mike Farrell again.
Mr. Farrell has been at the forefront of trying to save a man's life. What have you been doing?
Well, I've been supporting a family.
Touche, Phil. You know, see the Padre on your way out. He'll punch your ticket for you. You know what I mean? Look, what I'm talking about, Phil, is that Mike Farrell was exhausted. When Tookie Williams went down for the count, I said, Mike, look, come on home with Frank and I. We poured two quick brandies into him. But he was a little woozy. And he felt sick. And I felt sorry for him. And we had to lead him to the bathroom. But he said to me, he looked at me and he said, Margaret, as sure as Christ is my personal savior, you don't think it's a coincidence that Tookie was killed the same week King Kong came out. And then he vomited. Now, are you trying to...
Get out of here.
You hang up on me, you son of...
Yeah, and then he vomited. You sure as Christ is my personal savior? It's time now for our flashback here on the Phil Hendry Show. And, what's this?
I busted off of hold.
Will you get her out of here, bud? Hey, Phil, here's this is a flashback by request. By the way, can I get a little plug-a-roo in for the show that on Friday night, or excuse me, Thursday, the 22nd, our webcast, more to come. 7 to 10 webcast, internationally viewed, whatever the hell you want to call it, worldwide webcast on our internet thing, www.philhendryshow.com. All right, this is a flashback by request. Hey, Phil. As long as you're talking about Tookie Williams, how about 3 years ago you did a bit where Pastor William Rennick was doing a Christmas play at Joyful Union? I'm not sure about the detail, but I do remember something having to do with catching a smoldering baby Jesus. Huge fan and a backstage pass holder since 2001, Jim. Here it is, Jim, Pastor William Rennick, and yes, it was around Christmas time 2001 for the nativity scene.
The Reverend just made a comment about how the world was insane, and I'm appalled and insulted by that statement because they are participating in the insanity.
Oh, no, ma'am, no.
No, you listen. Let me finish.
Let the lady finish,
Pastor. Let me finish,
but
then I will let you talk.
I want to be able to say something after she does.
Do you really feel that Jesus wants to be portrayed in that aspect?
What aspect?
The aspect of your play.
I got people lining up that want to catch the smoking Jesus.
But you know something?
Because I'll tell you something.
You've made it a circus,
sir. You ever been to a wedding and seen the crazy broads trying to catch a bouquet?
And you know something? Let me tell you something.
Trying to catch that smoldering Jesus.
And let me tell you something. You tell me that you're a man of God and the cursing that you're using.
Yeah, the language you're using, Pastor.
Oh, come on, everybody, just loosen your girdle up a little
bit. No, honey, that's not the way it is.
I want to tell you something. I get on my knees every night and pray to God that I'd be a better man and a better leader and a better shepherd of his soul.
Well, are you listening to the advice that he tells you?
Don't you think that Jesus wants to fly into the arms of his people? Don't you think that if he were on fire, smoldering and flying through the air, he wouldn't want somebody catching him?
Yeah, but I got to...
That's not the story, Reverend, and I will add this. Anyone can be a reverend.
Wait a second.
Are you God called? Let me tell you something.
Now, let me ask you, watch Hee Haw. God didn't tell you to do that, did he? The reason I use crude, I said you watch Hee Haw, but Jesus didn't tell you to do that, did he?
I don't watch Hee Haw.
Oh, come on.
Who are you, sir?
Ma'am, who am I? My name is William Rennick. I was called before Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb.
And you're
going to
have to answer to Jesus Christ. Anyone anyone, Reverend Renick, that you lead astray because of this ridiculous play.
You got smoke coming out of Jesus' as you put it.
You know what? I mean, I wish the American citizen right now would pray for this man and his church, because I'm telling you, it breaks my heart. It literally breaks
your heart. Oh, come on. You got, are you telling me your life is that empty that this breaks your heart? Some smoldering black of Jesus right here?
I feel so sorry that you all are led down such a wrong path.
I asked you if you watched Hee-Haw, and you lied to me and said you didn't.
You know, let me tell
Wait
you
a
something.
Minute. You asked her if she was watching Hee-Haw now.
I said, you watch Hee-Haw, and God didn't tell you to do that. She said, I don't watch Hee-Haw.
When I was 8 years old, I'm almost 45 years old. That was on the television in the room that I was in. You see a few
your life
things
is like
of it.
A man's life is like a river. It is the same life at the brook as it is at the big delta. It's
you know
the same
something?
Life at the stream as it is the broad shoulders of a river. And
first
you watch Hee-Haw when you 8 years old.
Here.
You watching Hee-Haw now.
What is he doing? What message did you get to have this play to portray Jesus in something that you're supposed to tell the story the way it was?
I got pressure paying big time to see the smoldering Jesus.
You are blaspheming Christ.
Oh,
you
now
should
we
not
got
be
to
proud
it.
Of you. And let me tell
now
you,
now we got
is
to
getting
it.
You, just, this is getting you publicity.
Just because I got you to admit
publicity
you watch Hee-Haw and Petticoat Junction, now you upset with me.
The wrath of God's going to pour on you like you wouldn't believe.
The wrath of God's already pouring on me. I'm getting sued for knocking up some 15-year-old chick.
You have no idea what's going to lie in your future because of what you're doing right now.
You are
planting bad seeds.
I'll tell you right now, the people are catching Jesus flying through the air every night because they want to catch Jesus.
Well, wait a minute, but they're getting a door prize for catching Jesus.
All right, so what? So they get a 21-inch fan.
This is a circus. This is a cheap.
What's Roy Clark wearing today?
What?
What's Roy Clark wearing today?
Oh, get off the hee-haw cracks, will
See,
you?
I'm going to tell you something.
Everything with
you,
the hee-haw.
Let me tell you something, sir.
All right, and then I got to take
what?
A break here.
I don't really feel sorry for you. I think you're a very sick rat.
I'm a rat. You know something? You must hate black people.
I love
black
people.
I finally found out what your problem is. You hate black people.
No, I don't
yeah,
like.
Yeah, you call
I
me a rat.
Approve.
Come on, never in the book.
She was
commenting
anyone.
On Jesus.
You don't like a black Jesus flying through the air. I bet you wouldn't like a black man flying through the air either.
You don't have to say these things because you have no ground to stand on.
And out in front of your church, out in front of your church is the little sign that says, "Come see the smoldering Jesus," doesn't it?
I don't recall putting that sign
up. You don't recall putting that sign up. All right, look at Victoria. Thank you.
Would a black Superman bother you?
There it is. Flashback. One of the more requested bits, the smoldering Jesus. It was 1 year where Pastor William Renick was giving away a door prize, and it was after 9/11, so he decided to have the three magi as terrorists, so they would enter the manger and then blow it to, you know, just blow it up, and this little flying Jesus would come sailing out of the manger with smoke pouring out of him, and if you caught him, you'd win the, desk fan or washer dryer. So there you go. Blame him, not me. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. It's not news, it's the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Hendry Show is back.
Let me see if I can spit this out now. On the 22nd, which is this Thursday night, we will be doing our next webcast. And that is a broadcast and a videocast all combined into one. It's called a webcast. So if you log on to our website and you have a backstage pass, now you must get the backstage pass. You simply must. If you don't, you don't get to see the webcast. And if you don't see the webcast, then you don't really see how this show happens. Now, many of you are longtime fans and you'd like to check it out. Some of you are probably new to the show and you're not quite sure what's up. Well, And many of you have probably heard about it. I don't want to talk about myself, but I have seen it. I've actually watched myself. Somebody did some video once, and I don't know what it was, the Museum of Television and Radio, and they had a video of me, and it's weird. It's real. For the guy that's doing it, for me, I looked at it, and I was frightened. Because what we're doing here is a kind of a show, a theatrical presentation. And beyond that, I'm not willing to say. If you're new to the show, and you think you, as I'm fond of saying, you think you know what this show's about, man, give it up another 6 months. In any event, Go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Hit the banner that says The Phil Hendry Show webcast Thursday, December 22nd, 2005, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And it'll take you to a page that tells you how to subscribe. It shows two sample pieces of video of what the show sort of looks like. It shows me going in and out of character. It also tells you what you get for your backstage pass. In addition to the webcast, you get our 30-day show archives, our three archive show formats, including the MP3s, which have been so controversial, automatic downloads, crystal clear internet quality, and the whole thing, man. It's only $6.95 a month, so it's very, very, I would say, it's a good deal, man. Goodbye. Just go to www.philhenryshow.com. Check out our webcast on Thursday night. Starts at 7 o'clock. And then the other thing I want to tell you is that we have the brand new Ted's of Beverly Hills 25th anniversary T-shirt in our souvenir shop. Ted's of Beverly Hills, one of the great steakhouses here in the Los Angeles area, but also across the country. Yes, if it's meat, and man, if it's meat you need to get in your mouth quick, head on over to Ted's. That's Ted's of Beverly Hills. What? What did I say?
You said meat in your mouth.
Oh, shut up. Go over to Ted's of Beverly Hills and get that T-shirt, baby, because it's his 25th anniversary. By the way, our DVD of the month, Dog Day Afternoon, the quote from Sal, I'm ready to start throwing the bodies out the front door. This week in history, Star Trek, the very first pilot was shot, and a whole bunch of other crap. Oh, yeah, and Phil Drives to Work Part 12 is up. Well, at least they're 3 minutes long this time. So you're really getting, we're going to get to work fast now. I've decided, screw it. What did you do, Doug? Is this the right one? Doug, if you put up the wrong one, I'm going to kill. No, it's cool. Yeah, Phil Drives to Work Part 12. It's just 3 minutes of me driving my car. The hell's wrong with that? If Andy Warhol can make money doing that kind of crap. You know that guy did a 12-hour movie, The Empire State Building, once? 12 hours of just a camera on the Empire State Building. People flocked from miles around to see it. They came from miles around to see 12 hours of the Empire State Building. Why can't I have 3 minutes of me driving? So it's all there for you to check out on our website. And by the way, I want to thank people for sending us the nice, you know, kind of Christmas stuff. We got a thing from Mike in Maine. He sent us a bottle of maple syrup, and I thought it was a bottle of tequila. I honest to God did. It looked like a bottle of tequila, but and I almost took the cap off and started swigging it liberally right there at my desk till I realized it was maple syrup, and I thought, oh, God, I can't drink that. And that was really nice. Really appreciate all of that, you guys. We got a really cool thing. I told you, I took that big, big care package I got from Raquel. And we went over to Allisall Ranch this weekend. I don't know if you guys know where that is. It's a kind of a dude ranch up in Solvang. And we kind of dig it up there, and we take the kids up there once a year. But my son is coming down from, one of my sons is coming down from UC Davis. And I just want to say, and I say this with the greatest of respect, United, I understand it's been tough. I understand it's been tough. Why don't you just get out of the flying bit? Why don't you just start a bus business? Took the kid. You know how long it took him to get from Sacramento to Santa Barbara? Now, how far do you think that is? What's that, 350 miles? It took him 12 hours, and he was flying. They couldn't get planes into San Francisco, and they couldn't do this, and they couldn't do that. I don't doubt that things have been tough at United Airlines. But you know what? Everybody's got to swim in the same water. And don't give me that 9/11 stuff, because American went through the same thing and they're doing fine. I could fly an American, and I know that I'm talking to people who get it when I say the toilet doesn't flush. I know I'm talking to people who get it when I say, can we get some air going in here, man? I know that, you know, you guys are busy boiling water, but I know I'm talking to people who get it when I say, hey, you, another drink. You see, they respond to that. But you people on United. No kidding. I hate him. And Maria, we flew him one time. That's the last time I'll ever. I don't care if people call me. I don't care if I get letters from them. They ain't sponsors on my show. And they never will be either. Not because I don't want them to be. They just never will be. Somebody's going to go to, would like to buy the Phil Hendry show? No, just asking. Not just United. Wait till you hear what I got to say about Starband when we come back. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, if you go to our souvenir shop, it says last day of shipping the 20th, so you're flat out of luck for Christmas. Sorry, unless you want to get the order in tonight. They'll ship tonight. But if you go there, you'll see the new Ted's of Beverly Hills 25th Anniversary T-shirt, which we recommend you buy. The slogan is 25 years of slaughtering cattle. That's fine. The old one was, as you know, we want to put our meat in your, and then we have to beep it. And because someone got uptight. And we did have a picture of Comb-Over Boy on our, you know, on our homepage with the word gay. Well, someone didn't dig that either. You know, it's getting tougher and tougher just to try to be funny. We want to put our meat in your beep. That's the greatest line, advertising or otherwise, in the history of man on this planet. And I got to have 25 years of slaughtering cattle? Oh, man. All right, when we come back, I'll tell you about... I don't have enough time to talk about Starband now, do I? Other than the fact that they blow chimp. Let me just say this. Let me just kind of wet your whistle for my Starband rant. They lick ape. Does that kind of give you just a sense? Starband. Oh, man, you cats are in my crosshairs now. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for the two satellite dishes I have in my yard that don't work. Thank you for everything that you've done. You know what they are? They're the guys that upload. They get satellite internet service, or that's what they say they do. You guys suck. And I can say that, too, because you ain't going to advertise on my show either. What are you going to do, man? You going to cancel your advertising? Starband. Sucks.
Available now in the six-pack.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.